here at this congregation, and that we will bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Please be with us this morning as we strive to do thy will. We are mindful of those who are continually suffering from health challenges. We're mindful of several brothers and sisters who are in need of thy care, and we pray that you will continue to watch over them as you are, have already promised and are already doing, and let us remember your presence in our lives always, each and every day. But we know that it's very important for us to walk in the light as thou are leading us in the light. Please be with us throughout the remainder of this class and this worship service this morning. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, I have titled my lesson, Sound Communication to the Glory of God. Sound Communication to the Glory of God. I've prevented different lessons on this forum. I'm mindful of, I'm going to tell you, you may chuckle at this. When I was in Delaware at a congregation, we had a radio program. We had a 15-minute radio program. So for me, trying to condense a lesson into 15 minutes, that's hard for Zach. So I had to, it's something I really had to work at. And so I had to, I had to count it down to the number of words that I had to write up. I had to manuscript it out. And one of the lessons that I taught was a long communication. I titled it "Slaying the Dragon of Profane Speech." If you will, imagine a dragon, a fire-breathing dragon. That's what happens when our speech is not the type of speech that's Christ-like, or that fulfills the Christian graces, that fulfills the fruit of the Spirit. It's like a fire-breathing dragon breathing fire. When our speech is out of line, if we are members of the Lord's body, and we need to make sure that our speech matches up with what we're professing. So we must genuinely be spiritually minded on the inside as well as the outside. We must feed our spirit with the Word of God so that the inner spirit, which was given to us by God, needs to be continually strong and consistent to receive the proper nourishment. So we need to make sure that our mind, when we talk about the tongue or our heart, we're talking about our mind. So we need to make sure that we are a body is ready to receive the proper nourishment and the energy from God, which God's energy and power will never go out. It's a continual source of power that we can tap into, so that we need to be ready to receive that forever, tap into God's energy source. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And verse 19 tells us the same thing, for it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." To support and promote a healthy soul, which is our body and spirit, we need to manage what we are putting in our minds and in our bodies so that we may experience a faithful Christian life and good physical health over the long haul. So it's very important that we are Christians from the inside out, not from the outside in. We're going to talk a little bit more about why that's important. So we need to make sure that the inner part of us, our spirit, is tempered with the Word of God, that we have the Word of God in our mind and our heart so that it can serve as a filter when we get angry, when someone mistreats us, and we want to lash out like that dragon. Remember I talked about the dragon as like fire? So we need to make sure that we are spiritually pure and clean on the inside as well as the outside. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, you can turn to that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple is holy. So not only should we be concerned about are we putting the pure gospel, are we putting ourselves in a position to receive the pure gospel? Are we self-teaching ourselves, as Brother Bill emphatically brought out this past Wednesday? We need to be in the Word, and we need to be in God's Word continually to so that we can feed the inner man, the inner being, to be able to reflect and to exhibit the type of character that Christ is expecting. Also in 1 Corinthians, turn to chapter 6, and let's read verses 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 says, the spirit will return to God who gave it. So we have the spirit in us through God's word. When we take God's word, and it is something that we have to work at, you know, we can't get it all by just coming to the assemblies. That's commanded and that's good. But we need to do, we need to have the self-motivation to have that hunger and that thirst for God's word. Jesus spoke about the very same thing that we're talking about this morning in Matthew chapter 15. If you turn to Matthew chapter 15 in your Bibles. Now there are quite a few scriptures that we can turn to when we're talking about sound speech and when we're talking about being pure on the inside and the outside, but this is one of them that I want to highlight. Matthew chapter 15 and beginning at verse 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So very powerful words from our Lord and Savior is that we take stimuli, we take things in, And it is very important as Christians. You know, I've been asked questions over my time as a Christian and as a leader of the congregation. I served as a deacon in my last congregation, and serving as an elder here. I have people ask me, you know, can I go to this place or that place? And I think the answer is, if, you know, when you're thinking about what environments you should go into, I know you got to go to work. I know you got to go to HEB. All right, you got to go get some food. Now, in some of these venues and some of these places that you got to go, you're going to see some things. All right? So as a Christian, you need to have that filter. Do you have the Word of God right here? If you see something, do you have that filter that says, nope, can't look at that, I can't think, you know. You have to, the Word of God has to be active in your mind. And you have to apply it and use it as a tool to steer you away from temptation, to steer you away from sin. So we have to make sure that we don't choose to go to, I think I've told this story before. When I was a young man, I used to work down at the University of Georgia football games, the Bulldogs, back in Athens in my hometown. And there were people who came there who were honest and good, upstanding citizens. There were other citizens who came there who had what? A bottle of Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, and they were drinking at the same time that the game was going on. I mean, there's other scenarios like concerts. I remember a scenario when I was a young man, I know better now, that I went to a concert and they were passing marijuana joints around the crowd. Should I have been there? Is that the right environment for a Christian? What do you think? No. So we need to make sure that we don't, you know, we don't put ourselves in the, there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 that says abstain, I think verse 21, it says abstain from all appearance of evil. So we need to make sure that we're not increasing the opportunity for temptations to occur by going to places that we shouldn't be going to, where sin is rampant, or where the temptation is very high for sin. So it is not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. And Christ explains in this verse, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. So we have to be careful, class, that, brethren, that we're not feeding that spiritual part of us. Again, we have two different parts. We have the spiritual, which we should be feeding and catering to. Well, we're going to take care of the physical part of us as well. As we read in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, and if you read that whole chapter, it talks about not putting anything in your body to defile your temple, the house for the soul. So very important. So we must pay attention and guard our speech, which is our mind that is being spoken. So keep in mind that what we say is a reflection of the inner part of us. Remember, it goes in. You know, if it's something that is a bad stimuli, or it's a bad environment, or it's a bad thought, or it's a bad thing, we have to make sure that that gets filtered out. You know, like when we eat, our body digests its food, right? So during that digestion, the body takes the good stuff, and then the stuff that it doesn't need, it eliminates as waste. Okay? Any other comments about that? So now I am mindful of a scripture, Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, in my life on this earth, I've ran into some very faithful sisters in Christ who have helped me in learning and growing as a Christian. And this scripture reminds me of a sister that took me in when I got here in the Air Force, a young man. Y'all are aware, this was my first assignment. And I was 18 plus years old when I got here. So there was a family that pretty much took me in like I was a surrogate child. And they nurtured me and kept me out of trouble. And I'm very, very grateful to that family. So I think of them when I think of this scripture. Colossians 4, 6. Let's turn over there if you haven't already gotten there. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about it before I read it. I'm going to let you read it and mull it over while I'm talking about it. This scripture emphasizes a point that we're trying to make this morning. We should evaluate and prepare in our minds what we are getting ready to say, what we're getting ready to articulate to anyone, to ensure that the words we are saying are proper and are God's and to God's honor and glory. The scripture says in Colossians 4, 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This means that we must speak to our fellow man and woman with courtesy, with consideration, and with respect, and not in a condescending manner or in an antagonizing manner. Are we saying something to try to put them down? Are we trying to say we're up here and they're down there? When we see someone that needs help, that is on the street that needs help, do we put them way down here and we're up here? So in our speech, if we're going to say something to them, are we going to speak? Is it going to come out in a condescending and an antagonizing manner? When we're trying to antagonize someone, we're trying to say something to push their button. Have you ever had someone try to do that to you? Or you do that to your fellow man? That you're jealous about something, you're envious about something, or they said something that made you mad, and you want to lash back at them like that dragon I just talked about at the beginning of class. So we are in, because we are in origin, as far as the makeup, who do we come from? Who created us? In origin, who created us? That's the question. Okay, we're created in the image of God. Okay? So it's in our makeup, as far as human beings, we are all the same. Now, we may look different on the outside, but on the inside, you're all bleed the same way, you have the same configuration, I'm going to use that word, the same makeup. God created us wonderfully, wonderfully made. You are no better than anyone else, someone way in Australia or Philippines or in the Northern California. We're all the same. We all bleed the same. So we have to be careful that our speech is, we need to make sure that our speech is seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, you ladies can correct me if I'm wrong. I can cook a little bit. I can get in the kitchen to burn a little bit now. I'm not afraid to get in the kitchen. I'm going to use a cooking analogy because if we are cooking chicken, for an example, If we're frying it, if we're baking or using an air fryer, see, that's a more, getting up more technology. We got quicker ways to cook food now. Got these air fryers. We very rarely ever just not prepare and season a chicken with perhaps several types of seasoning. You know, we just don't take the chicken and wash it and bake it. We don't just take it and wash it and fry it or air fry it or however, whichever way we're gonna cook it. We're gonna take several types of seasonings and we're gonna season that chicken and we're gonna to add flavor to improve the taste to satisfy what our appetite, our taste. Some cooks even go to the lengths of preparing special, creating a marinade sauce. Maybe you can buy it already prepared, but a lot of ladies make their own marinade. And they marinate this chicken for several hours, preparing it, seasoning it, and getting it ready. So in like manner, we need to prepare our minds. And as far as what, because this right here, this mouth reflects what's coming out of your spirit, out of your being, out of your mind. So we even, one of the things that we put in that seasoning is salt. It's one of the main ingredients. So after marinating the chicken over time, then it's cooked to the desired and preferred way, whether it's fried or air fry or bake or rotisserie. So then, in like manner, our speech must be properly examined. It must be considered in our minds before we speak. Think before you speak, so that the hearers, brothers and sisters in Christ, hear, someone we come in contact with at work, a husband, a wife, or daughter, or son, anyone that we come in contact with will understand, and which will promote clear and positive exchanges of communication that will benefit both the speaker and the hearer. What questions do you have about what I've covered so far, or any further comments to add? So our speech must be with grace, seasoned with salt. Another example is, in order for me to effectively teach this class this morning, I had to first decide what subject that I was going to teach. Then I needed to research and study the Bible. Study the Bible first. I'm talking to our men and to our to women. I'm talking to the men particularly because I want you to prepare yourself to be able to do what I'm doing right now, teaching a class. I want you to prepare yourself to be able to give a lesson. Especially, I want you to get yourself ready, ladies and men, to be able to do 1 Peter 3:15, be able to talk to someone about Christ and share with them how to get into the kingdom, how to be a Christian. So I had to research and study. So back on the research thing, is that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Ephesians 3 tells us that this Bible can be read and understood. I'm going to get you, brother. This Bible can be read and understood. So we need to not rely on commentaries. They're good for us to look and check out. That means that someone else has taken the time to write a book about a letter and what it says in the background. Those can be helpful, but we have to be careful. Brother Kevin, you had a comment, sir?
Often I've seen people think that our speech is a small thing. As long as I don't rob banks and kill people, I'm a good person. James says in James 1:26,
yes, sir.
If a man among you seems to be religious, the bridle's not his tongue, but his deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. The magnitude of what we say and how we control our speech is of supreme importance.
It's paramount. That scripture is a very familiar scripture to me, Brother Townsend. The gentleman that baptized me, he hammered that scripture home in my brain, that scripture you just read. If you can't bridle your tongue, there's something wrong there. You say that you're a child of God, you have obeyed the form of doctrine, you put Christ on in baptism, but you can't seem to stop using profane language. That's inconsistent with being a Christian. The fruits of the Spirit, we have the fruits of the Spirit, we have the Christian graces. So we need to prepare ourselves. So, back to my analogy, I took the time to think about what I was going to say here this morning. And I wrote down some notes on an outline format to rehearse and remind me of what I had prepared to say in this class today. So, what am I saying? It takes preparation, it takes time your brain is an amazing tool. You can think, you can mull things over in your mind just even faster than process it faster than in a computer. As for what you're gonna say, if someone's asked you a question or is communicating with you and you need to respond back to them. So it takes practice. Also, we need to exercise calm and be considerate in our speech, not only when we are discussing God's word, but with anyone that we may communicate with in any forum or any given situation, which are spot, with, like for example, with our wives, husbands, spouses, at work, at rest, or at play. Now, we're gonna run into individuals in the world, and unfortunately in the Lord's body, who claim to be religious, as Brother Townsend brought that scripture out in James 1:26-27, they are trying to push our button. They're trying to get us to provoke us to wrath, which is totally opposite of what a Christian should be doing. But we have people that are out on the street that we may run into that may say something to us, that may say something derogatory. So we got to make sure that we are alert and that we are aware so that we don't let our speech, when we get angry, we think a lot of times we try to justify us using profane language. Again, profanity can be, you can use a profane word or you can use words, derogatory words to really cut people to the quick. You don't have to necessarily say a profane word, but you can say, put your words together in a way that hurts them. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And we'll read verses 6 through 8. Titus 2, 6 through 8. The scripture is, Apostle Paul is talking to Titus, and he says, the young men, but this applies to everyone. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Now that word sound speech, means something that is well planned and thought out. If we talk about sound preaching, sound teaching. We're talking about what is that preaching in accordance with the Word of God? Or if something is, if we're asking about if something is sound, we're saying, hey, is it ready to go? Has it been done? Is it healthy? For an example, W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament, which is a New Testament dictionary, defines sound as whole, something that's whole, something that's healthy, that's been nourished. If we're healthy, if our body is healthy, we've been properly nourishing it and properly exercising it and putting the proper things in it. So we want to make sure that we do that with our speech. We want to make sure our speech is wholesome, that it's healthy, that it reflects who we are as a Christian on the inside and the outside. Some who speak before he or she thinks is an impulsive and immature person. A person that jumps off and says something or responds to something before they think. It's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of immaturity as a man, as a woman. It's a sign of immaturity as a Christian if you can't control your tongue. And again, we use anger as the excuse. This is where I was angry. So that gives me the platform. It gives me the reason to curse and say these bad words and to say these bad things. That doesn't reflect the Christian graces, and it goes against the fruit of the Spirit. So we often find him or her, this kind of person who makes impulsive responses. Let me get my thought there. I lost my train of thought there. So this person is often in arguments, is what I'm trying to say. Someone who can't control their tongue, someone who can't control their mind and their emotions, are quick to get into arguments, into chaos. But if the other person, if one person gets enraged and gets impulsive, what do you think most of the time is going to happen to the other party that's in the communication? They're going to get upset. They're going to get offended. They're going to get enraged. And then what do we have? We have a dangerous outburst. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, we were just over there. Brother Townsend took us over there. If you're still there, go to James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And listen to this, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I'll read verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So another scripture, turn into the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. This is a good passage to remember. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So we need to be careful. It says that the tongue of the wise uses knowledge. Again, they think before they speak. They go on the experience, on what they've learned, and what they understand from the Word of God, and they use that and allow that to be a filter for what comes out of our mouth. So let's spend the remainder of our time explaining just how volatile and how provoking our words or our speech can be. Be advised that this, of the six, well, he mentioned seven things in Proverbs that God hates. The six things that God hates. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Should be already there. We got a few more minutes here. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. If you examine those, four of those are connected to our speech. It has something to do with what's going to come out of our mouth, because it's going to come from the inside, from our mind or our inner being. A lying tongue, a heart that devises wicked plans, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. That last one is just a terrible premise for a brother or a sister in Christ to have, who is trying to stir up things in the congregation, who is trying to stir up things among brethren. So that's a terrible disposition to have. Please remember that the anger of man profits nothing, for it does not work the righteousness of God. We've already read James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And let's turn over with the few minutes we have left here to James chapter 3. And we're going to examine just how powerful our tongue, the effect of our tongue can have if it's out of control. Have a trouble turning leaves today here. James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. But we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, whoever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. See how great a little, how great a forest a little fire kindles. So some very vivid metaphors here being given by James, the brother, half-brother of Jesus Christ. And do you notice if you put a bit in a horse's mouth, you can control that big animal? If you can control a big cruise ship with a rudder that's way smaller in dimension in comparison. And so it talks about a spark that is placed in the forest that could start a forest fire that could go burn and destroy hundreds of acres. Guess what? Our tongue can do the same thing. It can have that same effect. Oh, it's a little piece of some muscle, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a muscle, but it's being governed by our minds. But it has such great effect if it's out of control. Let's read on here. Verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So we can lose our soul if we have this indifference, if we have things that are unchristlike, that are against the word of God coming out of our mouths, but we're claimed to be a child of God. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tame and has been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. That's what exactly the point I want to end on. Out of the same mouth, as it says in verse 10, comes blessing and cursing. So we're going to be singing and praising and giving adoration to God. I want you to think about this, okay? We need to make sure that we are not guilty of what we just covered here this morning in this class. We need to make sure our speech is sound and wholesome and healthy, and that it is governed by God's word, that we allow our being, our inner being, to be led by the Spirit, which is the word of God that we place inside of our minds. Thank you for listening. Let's have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we had to study and to glean more knowledge and to remind ourselves about how we need to control our tongue. May we strive to give pure, wholesome, considerate communication and courteous communication to our brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, and also to our fellow man. Be with us as we transition to our worship hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.